Yeah, so I kind of figure like you guys all want to be fully revealed in who you are, and that means like expanding maybe out of what we're comfortable. So I'm going to talk about something tonight, this afternoon, that I've never actually heard anyone preach on. But I don't want you to get offended when we go into this. This is going to shock you a little bit, but I'm going to show you where it is scripturally and historically. So you ready? I'm going to talk about an ability that you've already got that you've been shut down in. And that ability is telepathy. I'm going to show you that what the Bible teaches on the subject of telepathy and how Jesus was telepathic. Jesus knew the thoughts and intents of the heart. And discernment is actually telepathy. It's just under a different name, where we discern the thoughts and intents and motives of the heart. And that humans were always meant to know each other through the heart. We were never supposed to know each other according to the flesh. And we were always supposed to walk in the light together, where we knew one another on a different level than we know each other now. Like they do in heaven. Okay? Is that a good subject for this afternoon? And as I talk about this, I want to pray for it to be activated in you, because it was actually shut down in me until an accidental event happened where the Lord wanted to teach me that I needed to be able to discern. I needed to know people in the heart. And what happened was, I went to a church in a village in Wales, and when I was there, I could see in the spirit, because I've been engaged in the prophetic and grown in the prophetic, I could see that there was a couple in the church that were having an affair. Now, I didn't say this to anyone, because like I just felt God's compassion and love for them, because obviously things aren't going well for them for that to have happened, yeah? So like it's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance, isn't it? Right? It is the tender mercies of our God, right? So I went home and I was praying for this couple, and I was saying, Lord, I just feel like, what am I supposed to do about this? So I went to a coffee shop, and as it happened, I bumped into this guy there, the pastor of the church. I'd never seen him before that night, and he didn't even live in my city. So I thought, hey, this is God's plan. I meant to talk to him and say about this couple. So I'm sitting there thinking this is God's opportunity. And the guy says to me, what do you think about this couple? And names them. And I say, oh, okay. Well, it's funny you should say that. I just feel that there's something not quite right going on here. And I feel like there's some inappropriate boundaries and all this other stuff. So I went away from that situation thinking like, oh, thank you, Father. I'm not carrying this burden anymore for this situation. But what happened was that guy already knew what was going on. I was told he was a pastor. Back then, I only saw him through the flesh. I thought, oh, he must be mature. Turns out he was a baby. He'd only been a Christian a short time. And he already knew that they were having an affair, but didn't have the courage to address it himself. So he went back to church and exposed these people by saying, Justin has said that these people are having an affair. So that he didn't take the heat for it. Now, after this happened, I was grieved. And I'd also gone to a church in Denmark, and there was this pastor there, and there was this girl that was on a drugs rehab sitting next to him that he was mentoring, and I thought everything was okay, because back then I presumed that what I saw was the real world. I presumed that the pastor must have right boundaries. I presumed that the church knew what their relationship was like, because I believed at the time the system. I believed if someone was told, you were told they're a pastor, they must be a pastor. I was told if people are in a pure situation, they must be in a pure situation. But my friend that was with me said, there's something wrong there. And I said, you sure? It's like, yeah. 2 weeks after we left there, they came out and saying that they'd gone up to heaven together and the Lord had married them in heaven. So he already had a wife, this pastor. So these two events triggered something in me where I thought, I cannot be ignorant anymore. It's not working out for me seeing people after the flesh. This doesn't work. I can be conned. I can be tricked. And the prophetic can be distorted for not seeing reality. So I started crying out for it. And I got a person that was operating in discernment to pray for me. They laid hands on me and it began to open up in me. And I began to see and discern, and I was so grateful for it. I was so grateful for it. And now it's grown in me over the years, and I want it to grow in you. Paul said, I recognize no man after the flesh. Now, this ability is powerful. It allows you to discern the angels, human spirits, the saints. It allows you to discern what's going on in yourself, and it allows you to know what's going on in your family. It allows you to know what a person's like when you meet them in the street. Sometimes I'll bump into a person, I'll get a full read on what they're like as a person, as if I've known them. Sometimes it's so strong in me now that I'll have a meal with someone and I'll know years of their life, even though they've not talked about it. And they'll leave and my wife says, I hardly know them. And I'll say, I know them really well. And I'll tell her their story. I'll see like what their parents were like, what their upbringing was like, stuff they dealt with as a teenager. Sometimes I'll bump into a person and I'll do a read on them. I'll know exactly what their character's like, their issues of their heart. Sometimes I'll actually like hear people's thoughts out loud. That happens a lot. It used to be uncommon for me. It first started happening like 5 years ago. The first time it really happened was in a meeting with another minister. Someone thought, that guy's crazy. And I heard it out loud and he heard it. And he said, I'm not crazy. He pointed at the person who thought it. So I was like, whoa, I heard that too. It was like, woo, hee-hee. And then my wife and I were on a beach and we were setting up a big tent and we were on the beach and there was this woman quite a way back from us and we both heard her thought out loud. She thought, they're going to block my view. I turned to my wife and said, did you just hear that woman's thoughts? It's like, yeah, she thought we're going to block the view. So we just moved our tent and moved it over there so she could have a clear view. So we all send these signals out. The reality is you're already doing this. Have you ever felt like phoning someone and they needed you at that time? Have you ever been humming a song in your head and someone sings it? Have you ever felt like someone's going to pop in on you and you've got to tidy the house and they do pop in, they come into the house? Just you had this thing, someone. Have you ever like thought about friends and you meet them that week and you've not seen them for years? On and on, the list goes on and on. Because we're connected. It's an illusion that we're disconnected. We're all actually, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, and we're one in a kainos community. Now, the system's tried to shut this down because we don't walk in the light. That's why we have like churches and situations where people have hidden stuff. But I don't believe that's the era that we're in. It says if we walk in the light, as he's in the light. See, we shouldn't be afraid of sin. What I mean by that is, it's like when the Lord showed me issues in people's lives, it's always so I've known how to handle them, right, to help them. So I'll give you an example. One guy came up to me in spirit school in Cardiff and said, I've been really engaging with holiness, thinking about holiness. As I turned and looked at him and touched him, I could see that he'd been in London that week and had slept with a girl. So I just smiled at him and said, that's awesome. Yeah, holiness is awesome. But it wasn't to expose him or harm him. It was so that I knew where he's at. Because I don't want to trade into illusion. I was just in a conference in America, and I went to the washrooms, and I bumped into this guy, and I did a read on him. And I didn't try. It's just my spirit was open. And I saw how nasty and angry he was, and it was under there, bubbling away. And a real bad spirit. Well, later on, I went in the meeting, and someone introduced me to this guy, saying how much glory's on him. Saying, look at the glory on this guy. And I turned to him and I was like, I just said to my friend, let's go for food. And then we went with a friend and I described what I'd seen about this guy's life. And this guy said, that's exactly what he's like. He knew him. But I knew him in a second. I literally bumped shoulders with him and I'd read him. Now, bear in mind, I went from not being able to do this. So if this feels out of your league, it's not out of your league. It's part of who you are because Jesus is the pattern of you. Jesus reveals you. It's not a nasty, sinister thing. I've never exposed anyone, ever. I always feel that because I see through the spirit of the feet of the Lord, which is the Father's face. And I realize how messed up I am. It's compassion and love. I've preached on it this morning, so put it in the context of what I preached, where we're powerful, where we make mistakes, where we shouldn't have fear. This isn't a fearful thing. Now, this gift, this enablement in you can get so strong that you can be of one mind. So one time I was in Germany, we were doing a conference of like 400 people or 500 people, and I was so full of the presence of God. We went in the lunch break, and I wasn't really in the room with everyone else. I was in the spirit, and I turned to Stephen McKee, who was with me, and I thought, I'm going to try something. I wonder if I can speak to Stevie in the spirit without moving my lips. So I asked him a very specific question. I'd asked him if he'd phoned a certain friend of ours, and I named this friend. So I sat there in the spirit, and I was like, Stevie, have you phoned this person? Stevie went like that. He like clicked. He was like, did you just say, have I, you know, contacted this person? It's like, yeah. So we started to learn that we could even speak in the spirit if we were all in the same place together. So where's that in the Bible? It says, Paul, a man appeared in a vision. A man appeared in a vision, spoke to him. Ian Clayton calls that heavenly text messaging or spirit text messaging. So sometimes, like, we'll send a Holy Spirit text message out. We'll go, I need to speak to you. And it's like your spirit goes, woo, like that. Now, if you learn how this works, you'll learn that they're phone calling you. So you'll start to think about them and go, okay. Then you fine tune it. Are they wanting me to contact them or are they present in the spirit? Because remember, Paul said, I can't be with you in the body, but I can be present in the spirit. He says, when my spirit comes, do this. So they knew when Paul was in the room. I've got a whole teaching on that called Beyond the Body. Okay? So they knew. It says, when my spirit gathers with you. In other verses, Paul said, I can't be with you in body, but I'm watching you in spirit and you're doing really well. You guys all right? Don't go quiet on me. I'm taking a risk teaching this for you, but it's more for Dave and Jen's hub because we've got to be discerning. If you don't want this, we'll have it, right? I'll have it. I want to grow in this. I want to, because I've seen in heaven that they'll communicate like this, like, wee! Like often it's not what they say with their lips. It's like the revealing of their hearts. For out of the heart a man speaks, as he is in his heart, so he is. And people open up themselves and they communicate like infused knowledge from one another. Have you ever met someone and feel like you know them? That's infused knowledge, like you can trust them instantly. Consider this, it says in the early church that Peter, you know, had an Ananias come to him and he read his heart. Because he said, this is all the money we got. And Peter's going, that's not right. He said, are you sure this is the right amount? He knew in his heart, he discerned in the spirit, he discerned in his heart, and he knew that they were lying to the Holy Spirit, which was even worse. So he knew that not only were they deceiving him, he read them and knew they were actually trying to deceive God. Now that is disturbing. What about Noah when Noah woke up and he was naked, he'd made a massive mistake, hadn't he? He had drunk wine, but he knew in the spirit through infused knowledge what exactly had happened. He knew which one of his sons had uncovered him and which ones had covered. So Colossians 3:10 says, we stand fully identified in the new creation, renewed in knowledge according to the pattern of the exact image of our Creator. So Jesus is the pattern. So we've got to have a new normal. Bill Johnson says, it's written in our spiritual DNA to hunger for the impossibilities around us, to bow at the name of Jesus. If Jesus performed miracles because he was God, then it would be unattainable for us. But if he did them as a man, I'm responsible to pursue his lifestyle. Recapturing this simple truth changes everything. So Paul said this. He wanted to talk about spiritual enablement. He said this in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. He says, I want to talk about the various ways God's spirit gets worked out in our lives. This is complex and often misunderstood, but I want you to be informed and knowledgeable. It says, you must know the special abilities the Holy Spirit has given each one of you. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I will do, he will do. So Jesus is the pattern that reveals us. He's the blueprint and origin of our design. So as he walked on the earth, we're supposed to walk, right? But even do greater works, exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or even dare to think. As he is, so we are in this world. So let's look at Jesus, telepathic Jesus. When was the last time you heard that in a meeting? Telepathic Jesus. What is telepathy? Telepathy is defined as this: the communication between people of thoughts, feelings, desires, involving mechanisms that cannot be understood in terms of known scientific laws. But they are actually starting to discover there is known scientific laws, we just didn't know them. There are wave patterns that emanate out of people where we entangle on a photonic level as we engage. The deeper the entanglement and the interaction, the deeper the entanglement. So they started to study the entanglement between husbands and wives. And there's a really interesting experiment into quantum physics where they put a woman, the wife, in one place and in a totally different location, the husband, and the wife was wired up to receptors and galvanic skin responses and heart rates and pulse and everything like this. And they would say to the husband, I want you to just think positive, loving thoughts about your wife. And they found at the exact moment that he would begin to engage what we'd call in the spirit, which is just another realm or another place in science that we don't understand, because everything is science. It's just another part of science, right? As he would engage, her heart would show all of these warming feelings and emotions. Her cheeks would become more flushed and she'd feel the warmth of his love remotely. Whee! Yay! So we're telepathic. Discerning the thoughts. Now, the Catholics have got word for it. Now, we don't know a lot of church history because we, at the Reformation, we dishonored everybody that went before us and rebooted it. So we actually have forgotten a lot of the stuff that we already know. So if we had not done that, we would have known that we've got this thing called cardiogenosis. Cardio is in cardiology, the heart. Gnosis is in secret knowledge or intimate knowledge, hidden knowledge. Cardiogenosis. In fact, we would have known that that's normal because you'd studied the Celtic saints. And for example, I'll give you a great example from Columba on the island of Iona. A guy came to him wanting to be a monk, and he came on the island and said, yeah, I really wanted to be a monk all my life. This is where I want to be. And he looked at him and said, yeah, actually, what you've done is you've run away because you're a thief, but you're going to make a great monk. Welcome to the team. We should not be unfamiliar with this. This should be normal. We should be able to connect on a different level, not knowing one another after the flesh, but the spirit. I'm going to pray that this afternoon God activates it to you on another level, that you're going to operate in a culture of honor, in a heart of compassion, that you're not going around exposing people, but you want to walk in truth, life, restoration, joy. If you've got a sinister, dark, and creepy side to you where you want to distort it and be Jezebelic, you've got to deal with those trading platforms in your life. Because your authority is your ability to love. So Jesus, it says this in Luke 11:17, but he, knowing their thoughts, said to them. So the church teaches that we're meant to be like Jesus and do what Jesus did. And then they say, don't be telepathic, when clearly Jesus was. So this is how weird it is in a lot of the system. They say, right, telepathy, means distance, empathy from afar, right? That we make that wrong because we put that in the spiritual category over here in our spiritual apartheid, but we say television, which is the same words, but tele, remote, vision, under a system of government in a world system, which is pre-programmed and encoded to make us reinforce this, we can sit in front of that for 5 hours, and that's okay with the church? Do you see how wrong it is? So we believe in television, but not tele-empathy. Compassion, love, empathy. Matthew 9:3, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? Have you noticed that often people come up to Jesus and he wouldn't answer what they said, he'd answer what they thought? Some days, like my spirit's so expanded, I forget to wait for the question. I remember Millie came to a meeting I was doing in London and some of the team. She had three questions that were on her heart for me. I knew all three of them before she spoke them. Out of politeness, I waited for her to speak. Sometimes with Stevie, though, when I've been traveling with him, if I travel with someone, it gets more intense. I skip the pleasantries. I shouldn't do it. But you get so entangled. It's like, you know, sometimes I'll just turn to Stevie and answer the question before he's answered it. And I'm like, sorry, Stevie, hang on. Right, you ask it and I'll answer it. I'll walk into a room, I'll look at like Jane and I'll know exactly where she's at. I'll know exactly what kind of week she's had. I've been sending stuff with her while I've been here because we're such good friends. It seems to get stronger when you love each other and you hold each other in your heart. Like if you want to know what's going on in the government, you've got to hold the government in your heart because you can only influence what you love, and what you love is what's in your heart. So we can expand our heart over the government. As you begin to care about something, God reveals it to you. It has weight in your heart, it has weight in the earth. Our hearts have been too small. True spiritual covering is who holds you in their heart. So this was essential for Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus without this ability? Just think about it. How could he be Jesus without being able to be telepathic? How can you be you without being telepathic? How can you be a new creation without this ability? Is this okay? Because like, I've never preached on this. I haven't even prepared my notes properly for this. I'm just reading from something I've written for myself. I've never actually taught on it anywhere. This is the first time that I've actually taught a message on this. Because I believe God is releasing this as a herb like Daniel saw of the shining ones, where the wisdom of the wise will be here. Now, to have wisdom means that we walk in the light. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, the blood, we have fellowship with each other. Where do we have fellowship with each other? In the light. I love the fact people can see my stuff. In fact, like people can see my stuff without being in the room with me, my friends. They'll say, oh, yeah, I knew you were having a bad week and this happened. And I knew you had an argument with Rachel. That's called true accountability in the spirit. I like the fact there's people around me that know my stuff. I want to walk in the light. I want to be holy. I want to walk in truth. I don't want any dark and creepy stuff in the closet. Wow, yay, I'm happy about that. I can't get away with anything, that's awesome. Not that I'd want to get away with anything, but I'm happy that I live in a community like Ian. Well, the first time Ian Clayton came, I presented all my team to him, said, what do you see? And the couple of the ones that had stuff that weren't willing to deal with stuff, they didn't remain in our community. They recoiled from the light. And they're not in our community now. Like I always say to like guys like Ian, just have a good look. Just have a thorough examination, please. In John 2:24, it says this, that he knew them inside and out, seeing right through them. People he's just met, he knew them inside and out. Is he the pattern of you? Is it possible for you to know people inside and out? You've just met them. Like sometimes I'll walk into a restaurant and I'll know exactly what the management structure's like. I'll see the manager in the spirit. I'll know if they're a good manager, a bad manager. I'll know what the culture is like. I'll know if they're happy in their jobs. Listen, small keys open big doors. I wasn't doing any of this before. Okay? It's only even in my 30s I began to step into this. So it doesn't matter how old you are, the door's in the floor. It's as you say, I need this. It's essential. I use these words, it's essential. If it's optional for you, you'll never walk in it. If you're open to it, you'll never walk into it. God never gives open people anything. Revelations 2:23, in the contemporary English version, it says, I know everyone's thoughts and feelings. In the message, it says, I x-ray every motive. So in Isaiah 11, it says, he, Jesus, won't judge by appearances, won't decide on the basis of hearsay. How many of you guys decide on the basis of hearsay? You read it on the internet. You read it on Facebook. You hear a man's opinion. You're in danger because you'll hear someone say, oh, this person's an awesome person in the spirit. This person has gemstones. And you'll go, oh, I've been told that this person's awesome. I was in a church in America, and I came in after one of the sessions with Ian. It was a big conference, and all across the front were all these different gemstones, tons of them. And a woman there with these gemstones, everybody was buzzing around it, loving the gemstones, looking at the gemstones. The moment I came in the room, my spirit went, oh. Do you know what I saw when I looked at her? I didn't even actually see her face. I actually saw this gray film that was over her eyes. Her eyes were gray and her face was gray. The spirit of deception. And she gave me a gemstone to look at, and I dropped it, and I could see she wasn't even concerned that it dropped. And I said to Ian, I want this out of here. And they passed, I took it out, and everybody was buzzing. And as we left, she was handing out little sachets of gemstones to the team. And one of my guys on the team was like, I didn't get a packet. I was like, that's probably a good thing. So I went back to the hotel. I thought, I'm going to have a look at these. So I got a bright lamp. I opened them, and I could see manufacturing marks on them. I could see where they had chinked. I could see that they were fake. So I thought, I'm going to look online and see how I could get that collection. Do you know how much that collection was worth? You could trade for online? $5 costume jewelry of that type. And you've got like a whole conference of hundreds of people fished in, blind, following the crowd, not discerning in the spirit, not being leadership, not thinking for themselves, not seeing for themselves. Do we go by reputation? Because someone can say this is an awful person and they are God's chosen vessel. They're awesome. Men could say this is a powerful ministry and they're faking it. I know one ministry that has oil and blood signs and gemstones and is popular out there. People give this person so much money and it's all fake. Well, okay, let's put it in real world. What about meeting a business person when you're doing a business deal? What are you going to think when you stand a government official stand in front of you? What are you going to think when your kids talk to you? See, we need to operate in this. I don't want to be heavy on it, but I consider this like 101 Christianity. Like this should be like the basics of what we're taught from the young age. What do you discern, children? What do you feel? What's your heart telling you? Because you already know. You can already do it. You're already capable. We're not going to shut this down in you. You can sense in the spirit. You can hear thoughts. What are you saying? What's the Lord saying? What can you see? Don't listen to what people tell you. What's the Lord tell you? Your mystic union with God. Because we need this. Because if we're going to sit across the table and help govern nations, are we going to be moved by the fact that that's a president, that's a business person, they told you they're from Google? Big deal. And then I've sometimes been in leaders' meetings and I've seen them like prophesying how much authority is over a person. And I look at them and they're like that big. They're like babies, and then you'll see like an old woman, and she has got so much authority. No one even knows her, and I'm like going, wow. There's this one woman back in England that I could see so much light coming off her, a woman in her 70s or 80s. I actually thought she was an angel. She had to convince me. I said, come on, just be honest with me. We were dancing out the front. I said, come on, please. I know you're an angel. Have you got a birth certificate? It turns out she's not an angel, but to me, she was a shimmering, shining one. Some of the most powerful people I've seen in the spirit, some of the most unknown, and some of the least powerful are some of the most known. Woo, 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 woo. You guys still want to embrace the future? I know I'm smashing everything. I can't exist without this, but it will operate through love. It's love. I love. I've got compassion on these people. I don't judge them. I'm not going around with superior knowledge. I'm going around with a broken heart. I'm going around with being moved with compassion and longing for the restoration of all things, for life, for healing. I see the brokenness. It's not a glamorous thing. It's not a judgmental thing. I've never pointed a finger, but I've had to challenge people. I mean, we knew once we had a product table and one of our volunteers took £200. And God showed us in a dream who it was. We never asked for that money back. but we know the truth of who we should use on product table. He who won't judge by appearance won't decide on the basis of hearsay. He will judge the needy by what is right, render decisions on earth's poor with justice. It's justice. Everyone needs justice. Everyone needs the illusion broken. Everyone needs the matrix smashed off them. And I often talk to people and they'll know, sometimes people know that I can see right through them. They'll look at me and they'll know that it's not hidden. And it's like, I know you. And it's like reality. It's walking in the truth. It's not walking in illusion. I can't believe a lie. I can't live in an illusionary lie. I'm not from here. You're not from here. Hey, you've got abilities you haven't even begun to tap into. I believe it's going to get so strong that we'll have people that you're walking in a room and people be in the spirit and it'll look like they're not talking, but in the spirit, if you go into that realm, they're communicated without words. And phoning each other remotely. And you know, I've met people in dreams. Sometimes, I mean, 1 week I went into 6 people's dreams. It's called dream invasion. Jim Drown calls it dream invasion. He's an evangelist. But he would practice like trying to go into terrorists' dreams to preach at them in the night. Well, a friend of mine, his son was having bad dreams and go on night after night. So one night when he was asleep, he went into his dream. He stood next to his bed and he knew how to be in the spirit. And he went into the dream and actually rebuked the demonic thing in the guy's dream, appearing in his kid's dream with him. Hey, reality, reality, reality. Now you're powerful. If you don't want this, that's fine. But I can't imagine being like Jesus without this. Sometimes in extreme cases, when I'm preaching, it's happened here many times, I've heard different thoughts come off you. It helps me because then I know where people are at. I don't judge that. I don't judge you. I love you. But I can hear you. So Jesus didn't recognize in the flesh. He was always hanging around with the wrong people. But they were the right people. Sometimes the wrong people look right there. Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. The degree we're moved by appearances is the degree that we'll be false. And we've been moved too much by celebrity culture, hearsay, and mass media manipulation. The truth is, as a mature and you are telepathic, it's already a part of you. And it's time that we've got to connect into this essential way of communicating. Yay. 1 Samuel 16:7, for man looks at the outer appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. 2 Corinthians 5:16, we do not know anyone in a purely human way. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. In fact, scientifically, my heart is broadcasting a bigger field of radius than my brain. You know that, yeah? Ian Clayton teaches on that. My brain is actually only going out about that much, but I've got like a 10-foot radius of energy output of waves from my heart. And actually, if you hug someone, after 20 seconds, your hearts begin to synchronize, and what it releases feel-good hormones and healing hormones into the body. When you hug for 20 seconds, it begins to happen. Yay. Yay. So in heaven, I've seen this amped up, and I've told you guys about it. I it's interesting how it happened. I prayed for 10 years. Don't give up, by the way. Through faith and perseverance, Abraham inherited the promise. I don't stop praying when I don't get what I've asked for. I just say, I'm going to weigh you down, God. I am going to weigh you down. And the Bible uses that as an example. Jesus said he's like a judge. There's a woman knocking on the door asking for justice. It's like it wears her down. She wears him down. So, you know, I was praying to be taken into the sword or the counsel of God because I'd caught this verse years ago after pursuing the prophetic and going after visions and asking people to pray for me for the prophetic. I had this verse from Jeremiah 23 where it says, who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and heard his voice? And this question echoed inside of me, who has stood? And it says, if they had stood in the counsel of the Lord, they would have heard his voice, marked his word, and changed the heart of a nation. I was like, where are the prophets to stand in the council? And I started praying for this. And then I was in Scotland, and I was just like praying again. And I was with Ian Clayton, and sometimes Ian will let me go in the spirit with him. So I said, Ian, can I just go with you tonight? He's like, yeah, come and sit here and come into my mountain. So I know how to go into his mountain. It sounds weird, but it's like literally, because he gives me permission, you know, it's like the overshadowing, and it's like a funnel that you go up in. So I began to go up in the mountain, and Ian always goes off and forgets me. This has happened a number of times. Like, he's just got the shortest memory imaginable. So he just went in, and this was amazing. I don't know if I've even mentioned this before to anyone publicly, but as I went through the layers of his mountain, I could hear his teachings playing. And I actually went through the layers of truth that are in his heart. And this thing was expanding, and like time was distorted, so I could hear his voices of different teachings. And I went up, and then I found where he was. And he was in the council, the Galactic Council, and I'd never been there before. And he was actually on the floor with thousands around and these people. And I was under his shadow. So I was like in a gray overshadowing from him. And he was petitioning for the scroll of Scotland. And he was standing for the releasing of Scotland as a nation and petitioning into the courtroom for the mandate to reform that nation and release it into what it's supposed to be. And he forgot I was there. But this is what I saw was I saw I couldn't get my head around what I was seeing. I saw the 70 that were on the floor in this instance. They were all, like I said, powered up like light, and it was going. And these beautiful peaches, they weren't even straight lines. They were like, whoa, whoa, peaches and hues of blues and beautiful colors. And they were like all going, wee, like shing, ding, 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 ding. It's just like the movement of, and I saw that terabytes of information were going. And they were like a human internet, all powered up to the maximum. And it was just so much glory. And I got taken, actually Enoch came, because I've had a relationship with him for a number of years. He came and actually took me out of there. And I was glad that he did. And he actually took me up some steps, and I was sitting then looking down on it. And when they'd finished this mandate, Jesus was in the middle of them, and he looked like a young guy. He looked so awesome. And he just grinned at the justice and the life of what was going on there. And he just went like this. He put his arms back and like started to float off the ground in front of everyone. And then he began to transfigure and move until it was the diamond. It was a moving diamond of four faces. And the faces were moving around so fast in the diamond that all you could see was one face, even though it was four faces. And he was transfiguring to reward everyone for being his intimate friends. And light started to come out of each shard of the diamond, and different parts of the diamond would hit every heart with a new revelation that they'd never seen of the intimacy of God's life. For me, I saw a flash of Mary holding baby Jesus. And everyone was getting revelation. God was rewarding them with intimacy. He was disclosing secrets that they'd not seen before. And everyone was buzzing. And as we walked out of the council, I saw people arm in arm saying, what did he show you? And like, what did he show you? And it's like, everyone was like, wow. It's like the energy and life and revelation and how vulnerable God was. And the joy of him revealing himself to them. Way. So there I saw that there was another way of communicating. Never, this is the interesting thing. I had never imagined such a thing. And I said, I was crying because I remember I prayed for 10 years. This wasn't a small thing for me. It was the fulfillment of a 10-year dream for me. And I was crying for 2 days. And I said to Ian, this is what I saw. And Ian was like going, yep, yep. That's what's like, yep, yep. You saw that, yep. Did you see this? Yep, Ian's so funny. He always goes, yep, that's right. That's right. So I believe we're even going to see hints of this happen on earth, where we're going to be so in the spirit, we'll transfigure, and there'll be unity. This real unity hasn't come yet. It already exists. We're in real unity. But what I mean is it hasn't been revealed yet. It's not agreeing to a program. That's so far from the councils and so to God and the ecclesia that it's unreal. That's delusion. This is spiritual technology, what I'm talking about. You've got spiritual technology. You're a broadcasting device. I was just with Bobby Connor in Seattle. Do you guys know Bobby Connor? And he said the most extraordinary thing over lunch. He said the Lord has spoken to him recently and said that the plasma in our skin will be how mobile phone technology works in the future, where our bodies will be the broadcasting device. And it will function from the plasma that's in us. I believe that we're capable of doing everything that technology can do. We can do in our bodies everything. We can release power to... I know a guy that lights things up. I mean, Millie does. Millie just fused a dentist chair yesterday. Millie Bennett, she was having her teeth done. I've had it recently with the frequency of my body's interfering with electrical equipment. Interfered with my laptop, it interfered with my iPad, my phone, my car. Because I'm real technology. Incomparably great power. How much power outage have you got? I've seen visions in the future of just like kids goofing around lighting up light bulbs with the power of the spirit that's in them. Energy. It's all energy. It's all frequency. It's all wave pattern. The incomparably great power in us to reform matter, reconstitute matter. Power. Wonder working power. Yay. So I believe we're going to start to see transfiguration, because transfiguration is the fully revealed pattern of the transformed mind. The word transformed mind is transfigured mind. It's the same word. Yay. Okay, nearly there, guys. So Paul the mystic understood this. He understood that we were capable of communicating. And often in his letters, I've got like a whole load of quotes on this. He would talk about, I'm with you in spirit. I'm with you in spirit. I see you in spirit. When I'm with you in spirit. That he didn't see distance because he knew that every definition of distance had been cancelled in the cross. That we're all connected. You can't separate the church. You can't split the church. I'm connected to my wife right now in one spirit with her. Sometimes my spirit will wander back when I'm sleeping. I once went back for 5 hours. Last time I was in Australia. Where's that in the Bible? Ezekiel, it says that he was sitting with the elders, then he was taken in the spirit, and another version of him appeared in Jerusalem and prophesied, and a guy fell as dead. So there was two Ezekiels on earth at the same time. So Paul could see that this. He said this, be of one mind. He talked to the mature. He said, to the immature, we talk like this, but to the mature, we now speak a higher wisdom. So I'm speaking a higher wisdom to you. I hope you're okay with that. You can go back to the other stuff, that's fine. But, you know, we've got something we need to do. We need to be able to see and hear and communicate in the spirit. We need to be present with one another in the spirit, know what's going on in the spirit. That they're in Australia, I'm in Wales, but I should know what's going on with them. They should know what's going on with me. Meeting in dreams. There's this place that I've been taken to. I'll tell you how cardiogenosis really works powerfully. I was invited to do a conference on the south coast of England, and the night before the conference, we were in this house, and they were going to have a night of worship, and everyone was worshipping, and to me, everyone looked well dodgy. I mean, I was looking at them. They're all worshipping, but to me, they looked like snaky. I was like, this is like everyone's snaky. And at that point, I got pulled and summoned into this place that I go to in the spirit, which is where Francis Metcalfe went, which is above the galaxies. You can look down and see the galaxies, and you know that you're there because you feel how high it is. You feel like you're on a cliff's edge, leaning over like that. And it's a flat basin, and it's where the ecclesia are meant to gather in the spirit, right? Ian goes there as well. In fact, we're going to learn to go there together. It's going to be a place we can meet, a networking point. As time unravels, we'll see this. So I was there, and all these elders were around there, and Enoch walked up to me and put a scroll in my hand and said, change direction. When the scroll touched my hand, I had infused knowledge and knew that God had never birthed that church was birthed out of rebellion through and through to another church that they'd fallen out with, and that I knew that as an ambassador, I was verifying and establishing what he had not established. And that I shouldn't be there to endorse what he's not endorsing. And that's why it was so full of demonic, because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So by me being there, I'm saying God's okay with this. So I touched the scroll, like, boom, I'm back in the room. I said, I'm sorry, we're leaving. Took all the team out there to cancel the conference, put a note on the door, cancelled, even though people were traveling there. This is a good conversation we're having. Complete my joy. Paul said, complete my joy, living in harmony and being of the same mind and one in purpose, having the same love, being in full accord and one harmonious mind and intention. Philippians 2:2 in the Amplified. He said this, well, in Romans 12, we are many people. We are many people. But in Christ, we are all one body. We are the parts of that body, and each part belongs to all the others. You belong to me, I belong to you. Ooh-wee. It says in the Voice translation, each one of us is joined with one another. Wow! And we become together, listen to this, this is awesome. And we become together what we could never be alone. We are one. All illusions of distance and delay have been fully cancelled in Jesus. You can never be alone. It's just in your mind that you're alone. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us get rid of every sin that's so easily entangled and let us run the race. Amen.